Please be seated. Well, good morning. And Merry Christmas. Oh, wait, sorry. That's what I said the last time I saw most of you. I'm just kidding. Sort of. But what a glorious day this is, and what a privilege it is to share it with all of you. You know, for me this year, the run-up to Easter has been different. In the past 2 weeks, I have officiated at a family wedding on the east coast of Florida and at 3 funerals. 2 of those funerals were here, as most of you know. And while grief is never an easy burden to bear, no matter how much you prepare for it, the truth is we were able to celebrate and honor the full and long lives of Esther Lauder and Helen Jennings. But the third funeral was different. It was in Birmingham. It was a family member. Grant Denson died tragically on his 24th birthday. And I will admit to you that these past 2 weeks have been mentally and emotionally exhausting. The whole interplay between life and death and joy and sorrow has been for me particularly poignant. It was surreal that first weekend to go from the joy of a wedding with one part of the family to the intense grief of a funeral with another part of the family. But as I turned my mind toward Holy Week and Easter, I realized something that stopped me in my tracks, and frankly, it bothered me. It bothered me a lot. You see, I had been asked to give a homily at each one of these services, and I really do try to make my homilies personal and unique to the situation. But what bothered me so much is that I realized that, to an extent, I had said the same thing at each one of those services. I'd used the same words. I used those good churchy words like promise and hope and trust and love. I spoke about faithfulness, not only our faithfulness, but God's faithfulness to us. And I asked those who had gathered to be grateful and to give thanks, for the gift of life, and for a God of love and of new beginnings. How could that be? How could I have used the same words for all those situations that were so drastically different? How could I have done that? And it bothered me because I knew, as I started preparing this Easter sermon, which everybody knows is supposed to be the Super Bowl of all sermons, it bothered me because I knew I was about to use all those same words again. All those words about life and death and joy and sorrow and promise and hope and trust and love. That's the language of this day. That's the reason we are here. What was I doing? Was I simply trying to walk my way through what was expected of me? Was I trying to somehow create this sense of buoyant optimism that would spare us from the pain of the unknown? Was I merely using words I'd been conditioned to use? I didn't think that was the case, but it really did bother me. And as a result, I spent a lot of time reflecting, even in the busyness of Holy Week, which ironically is what the week is supposed to be about. But the truth is, in our lives of faith, that is always the tension that all of us will have. And what we believe is a choice that we'll always have to make. And here's the choice I've made more than once. Jesus Christ is alive. He is not dead. He is not confined to our beautiful worship services and our wonderful buildings. He is not imprisoned in the pages of a book. He is alive. He is alive and wreaking the quiet havoc of love in a world that is filled to overflowing with hatred and pain. He is alive. He is alive and passionately working on the hearts and minds of this world, and he has gone ahead before us as he promised he would, and he invites us to come along. That's the choice I've made. But not because I'm just supposed to. It's the choice I've made because I realize that I see that every single day. Maybe you know how I felt. Maybe you can understand. It's hard sometimes to see what we believe. It's hard sometimes to see the risen and living Christ among us. And it's easy to question ourselves. But the only thing I know to do when that happens is to take a second look. Take another look, just like Mary did on that first Easter Sunday. Take a second look. You heard the story. You know the story. Peter and his friends, they saw the empty tomb. What did they do? How did they respond? Well, apparently they went back to the house for another glass of wine, which I guess confirms that the disciples were the first Episcopalians. But Mary didn't. She stayed. And it was in that second look that she saw the risen Christ and heard him call her by name. My friends, when in our lives of faith it all seems too good to be true, or it seems like we're just repeating words we've been conditioned to repeat, or if it seems too unbelievable to believe, take a second look. Take a second look or a third look or a fourth look or however many looks it takes to see the risen and living Christ among us and to come to know how very true all those words we use are. And maybe the problem is not that we use those words too much. Maybe the problem is we don't use them enough. Take a second look and don't settle for easy answers nor have the meaning of this day dictated for you. Because there is always more to a story that has not ended. Take a second look and come to know that resurrection is very personal. And where resurrection matters is when it matters to you. But you need to be prepared. Be prepared to experience more promise, hope, trust, and love than you may be able to handle, regardless of the circumstance. And then Easter becomes more than just a promise. It becomes something that makes this day, this moment, you and me, different, changed, and extraordinary. And somehow then we're able to see the risen Christ all among us, even in our joys and sorrows, and our hopes and disappointments, and our loves and losses. And we are somehow given the audacity to say those words again and again and again and know that they're true, to proclaim that there is no darkness, no darkness that the light of Christ cannot transform. There is no brokenness that cannot be mended. There is no failure that cannot be redeemed. There is no mistake that cannot be forgiven. And there is no one, no one beyond a love that is unconditional. And then Easter becomes a part of us, not because of what we've been conditioned to believe, but because we, like Mary, have seen it with our own eyes. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is
risen indeed. Say it like you mean it. Say it like you mean it. Alleluia, Christ is risen. There you go. And if I don't see you before then, let me be the first to wish you a very Merry Christmas.